predictable that there's going to be problems. So the Jews were in the northern empire in Bavel, which now became the northern empire of Poras, of Persia, and they were in the southern empire of Egypt. In Egypt, they lived in two main cities. The city that later would be called Alexandria, which then was the city of Thebes. It was an ancient Egyptian city. Memphis, Moph, the city of Memphis. It was always the port at the mouth of the Nile. And the city which today is called Cairo, which then was called Al-Fayyum, which is the middle of the Nile. That's where the Jews lived. So you have Jewish communities, again, till our time, that go back, and we're talking 2,700 years that the Jews have been there. In Bavel, when the Persians came, so then life for the Jews became better. The Jews, first of all, were freed from being slaves because the Babylonians were defeated. And the famous handwriting on the wall, Menei Menei Tekelu Farsin, the story of the prophet Daniel interpreting it. And the Persians liked the Jews, except they didn't like the Jewish religion. The Persians believed in a form of worship which today we call Zoroastrianism, which is the god of light and the god of dark. And they believed that these two gods were in constant struggle one against the other. Therefore, the Gemara brings, for instance, we all know that Mishnah in Bamei Madlikin, or those that daven Nusach Ashkenaz at least know the Mishnah in Bamei Madlikin, that Hamachabes Aner, person that blows out the candles, Mipnei, so the Gemara lists there, Mipnei Ovdei Kochovim, because of the Goyim. So what does it mean he blows out the candles because of the Goyim? Because there were certain holy days in the Persian calendar that were dedicated to the god of darkness. And on that day, you were not allowed to have a light in the house. And if somebody had a light in the house, so they would kill him, because they held it to be an insult to their religion. So if what it was Friday night, right, and the woman benched licht, and then he hears mobs of Persians, or the police, so he blows out the candle because he's afraid of that. That's the case that the Mishnah is talking about. That's why it says there that he's potter. Not mutter to do it, but if he does it, he's not chayev a korban for the malacha of kibui. The Jewish religion really mocked at all of these pagan things. And the Persians deep down in their hearts felt that the Jews were right. And therefore they were very, very uncomfortable with the Jews. The story of Purim, which happens during this period of time, is an example of this discomfort. Doseyam shonos mikolom ves doseyam melech einam osim, can't deal with the Jews. And Haman found a ready audience for his anti-Semitic diatribes, and the king himself was willing to let it happen. After the Jews were saved from Purim, by the miracle of Purim, by Esther, and by Mordechai, so here we have the first great discrepancy. There are a number of discrepancies that are hard to deal with. Here we have the first great discrepancy. And that is, the Tanakh tells us that one of the Persian emperors, by the name of Koresh, which is the name Cyrus, granted permission for the Jews to return to Eretz Israel. Eretz Israel lay under the dominion of the Persians. And he granted them permission to return to Eretz Israel and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Which Cyrus are we talking about? The Tanakh does not tell us. Cyrus, the name Darius or Darius, the name Xerxes, the name Artaxerxes, all of those names, Artaxasta, Ahasuerus, all of those names are not private names. Those are the names that the kings took, like Kaiser, like Caesar.